Thank you very much indeed for that message and song. And again, we know the Lord will bless it to our hearts. We do earnestly pray and trust that this will be the night when you'll open the door of your heart and let the Savior in. Now, you may be here for the very first time, and yet this can be the greatest night in your life, the night that you meet the Savior. Or maybe you've been here night after night and you have been in the valley of decision. Well, tonight is a very, very important night, and I trust that you'll not only think about it. The prodigal son, you know, he said, I will arise and go to my father's house. And then the Bible says that he arose and came. So we've come a sort of to decision time, a very vital time in this gospel mission. Now tonight we're turning in Matthew's gospel to chapter 27. And there we have the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. A very sad chapter in the life of an individual, because the decision he made that day put his soul away forever beyond the pale of God's redemption, way beyond the hope of ever getting to glory. We're reading, for sake of time, from verse 11 and Matthew 27. And Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, saying, Art thou the king of the Jews? And Jesus said unto him, Thou sayest. When he was accused of the chief priests and elders, he answered nothing. Then said Pilate unto him, Hearest thou not how many things they witness against thee? And he answered him to never a word, insomuch that the governor marveled greatly. Now at that feast the governor was wont to release unto the people a prisoner whom they would. And they had then a notable prisoner called Barabbas. Therefore when they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, Whom will ye that I release unto you, Barabbas or Jesus which is called Christ? For he knew that for envy they had delivered him. When he was sat down in the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, Have thou nothing to do with that just man? For I have received many things this day in a dream because of him. But the chief priests and elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor answered and said unto them, Whither of the twain will ye that I release unto you? They said, Barabbas. Pilate saith unto them, What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? They all say unto him, Let him be crucified. And the governor said, Why, what evil hath he done? But they cried out the more, saying, Let him be crucified. When Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person, see ye to it. Then answered all the people and said, His blood be on us and on our children. Then released he Barabbas unto them. When he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. Amen. God will add his blessing to the reading of his precious word. Can we just bow together and ask for the Lord's help? Our loving God and our eternal Father in heaven, we do give you thanks again for your presence this night. Thank you that thou hast said in thy word that even where two or three are gathered in thy name, thou art there in the midst. And Lord, though there be more than two or three here, we rejoice that above everyone else the Lord is here. For it is thy presence that maketh the feast. We thank Thee for these hymns and these messages and song, and pray their truth will be written upon the tables of our heart. And now as we come to the gospel, we earnestly pray for the solemnity of eternity, that hearts will be touched by Thy Holy Spirit, that this will be a decision moment in someone's life, that they will be wise and turn to Christ. Help us to rightly divide the Scriptures and to lift up the Savior, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I'm sure the moment we announced the portion of Scripture that we read together, you could put your finger upon my text for tonight, where when the crowd had asked for Barabbas, whom the Bible tells us was an insurrectionist and was a murderer, and the people chose that individual above the Lord Jesus Christ, then the natural question that arose from the lips of Pilate was, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? That, of course, is a very, very familiar verse in the Bible, but it is a very, very important one, and most certainly a very, very important one at this stage in this gospel campaign. You've been listening to the gospel maybe night after night. Now it's come to decision time. And what the Lord is asking you again, or asking of you this night, is simply this: that you give up your sin, or you give up your hopes of heaven. It is a challenging question. It fell from the lips of a Roman governor all over 2,000 years ago. A searching question that has been found in the lips of many an individual down through the course of human history. Maybe the verse and the issue has been by the Holy Spirit impressed upon your heart night after night, what you will do with Jesus. Maybe you've been near the kingdom, but you never stepped out in faith. But tonight, it's different. You see, there comes a moment in all of our lives when God bids us make our choice between this world and His dear Son. That moment had come in the life of the Roman governor. Surely that moment has come in your life. You've got to make your decision between this world and God's dear Son. My friend, how long are you going to travel down the road to hell with your back toward God? Isn't it time tonight to stop, to ponder, to think, to be wise? Make preparation for your latter end. What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? I want you to forget about Pilate tonight. I want you to ask yourself that question. What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? Because there could come a day in your life, if not in this world, but certainly in the world which is to come. And you'll be saying, what will Jesus do with me? And I want you to look with me at the story and learn from this man's mistake. Yes, the awful eternity that was finally his is yours when the mission is over. And the day of visitation is gone. Oh, my friend, God has sent this mission maybe specifically for you. And if you do not repent in this mission, God may shut the door of mercy in your face and lock it forever and leave you in your sin. You don't want God in your life. Do you think He's going to throw open the gates of heaven and all and sundry and say, oh, well, it doesn't matter about your sin or how you've treated my Son. In you come. Didn't happen with any others, and it'll not happen with you. Looking quickly at our text, I want you to notice the crisis that faced him. The Bible says, of course, in the verse 11, the verse that we started our reading, Jesus stood before the governor. That was a very, very solemn and searching moment. I think it is more like that the governor stood before Jesus. Maybe Pilate thought that he was answerable to no one, and everybody was answerable to him. Jesus stood before the governor. Oh, that had to be a solemn moment. That was a crisis day. That was a crisis situation. In fact, looking at the life of Pilate, you're looking at a man at the crossroads of life. His words, what shall I do, emphasize the crisis that he found himself in. And during gospel missions, people find themselves at such a crisis, face to face with the issues of eternity, face to face as to what they'll do with Jesus. My friend, what will you do with Jesus tonight? Will you get up out of your sin and trample his blood under your feet and shut the Savior out of your life and say no to Christ? Or will you turn your life over to him and live with his blood in your heart to cleanse you from sin? But it's your decision day. Under that crisis that faced him, we have the message in his heart. You see, when we look at Pilate, we're not looking at a man who is in spiritual ignorance. And we will come to that in more depth in a moment or so. But there is sufficient evidence in the Word of God to suggest that he knew all that he needed to know about the Lord Jesus Christ. He had heard the reports, and his wife had warned him. And of course, he came to the conclusion that there wasn't a flaw in the Son of God. And surely there's someone in this meeting, and you're like young Timothy, from a child you have known the Scriptures that are able to make you wise unto salvation. If you die in your sin and lose your soul, you'll go into outer darkness with the knowledge of God's Word in your heart, with this truth ringing in your heart, Jesus died for me and I could have been saved. And night after night you've come and you've gone from the place of the holy. Come and gone from the place where others have found the Savior. And there's nothing that we have been telling you that you don't already know. You know the consequences of living and dying in your sin. You know what it is if you reject Jesus Christ. Listen, my friend. Jesus stands at the bar of your conscience, the door of your life. He would save you, and He would save you gladly. There'll come a day when He will not be able to save you, in the day of righteous reckoning. Take a young man. He was out working with a team of horses. He was under the influence of alcohol. He lost control of those horses, and he thought, if I could climb up onto the back of one of the leading horses, I could maybe bring them all under control. And in his effort to climb up through the harness, he slipped and he fell, and his leg caught in the harness. Now the horses were more wild and furious, and they were dragging that young man most surely and certainly to his death. Abraham Lincoln was walking in the countryside. Abraham Lincoln, possibly the greatest president that America has ever known, was a judge by profession. And walking in the countryside, he saw the young man's predicament, and he threw himself at those leading horses, and he brought them to a halt. He could have lost his own life in the effort. And then, settling the horses down, he reached in, and he rescued the young man, and he dragged him out, and he saved him that day. A few years later, Abraham Lincoln was sitting as judge over a court case. A young man was brought in. He was tried. He was found guilty of the awful crime of rape and murder. And Abraham Lincoln, looking at the young man, because capital punishment was by hanging in that state, he said that on such a day, you will hang by your neck until you be dead. Then, as a great hush fell across the courtroom, Abraham Lincoln said to the young man, is there anything that you would like to say? That young man, pale and frightened, pushed himself up from the bench on which he was sitting, and he said, Your Honor, there is something I would like to say. There's something I would like to say to you personally. One day, under the influence of alcohol, I was working with a team of wild horses. I fell down amongst their harness. They were dragging me most surely and certainly to my death. You saw my predicament. You didn't consider the fact that you might lose your own life. And you threw yourself at those wild horses. You brought them to a halt. You released my leg. You dragged me out. And you saved me that day. Oh, Your Honor, he said, I need you more today than I needed you that day. Please, 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 Your Honor, save me today. Abraham Lincoln looked at the young man and he said, Every day you sat in this court, I could see that day. I could see those horses. I could see your predicament. But what you have to understand is this. I saved you that day, and I saved you gladly, because that day I was your Savior. But today, I'm not your Savior. I'm your judge, and I cannot save you. Take this prisoner away. My friend, Jesus stands at the bar of your conscience tonight. He'd save you, and He'd save you gladly. But if you reject Him like Pilate rejected Him, then there'll come a day when He will not be able to save you. And He'll say, take this sinner away, as He sends you down the corridors of a lost sinner's hell. That message is on your heart tonight. Then, of course, there was the man on his hands. You know, Pilate knew that Jesus was no ordinary man. In fact, he knew that they had delivered him for envy. He said, I find no fault in this man. How could he find a fault in this man? This was no ordinary man. This was the sinless, spotless Lamb of God, the one who knew no sin and did no sin, and neither was guile found in his mouth. My friend, this is God, a very God. God veiled in flesh, the incarnate Word of God. This is the one that you depend upon as you sit in that seat for your very next breath. Because in Him you live and move and have your being. And tonight, you're dealing with no ordinary man. You're not dealing with a preacher tonight. You're dealing with the Christ of God, the one who has power not only to kill your body, but after He's killed your body, to cast your soul to hell. You and I live in fear of men today. What people might do to us, what people might say about us, what people might think about us, and the fear of man brings a snare into your life. Oh, the Bible tells me, I'm not to fear what man can do unto me, even though he kills my body. That's all he can do. But the Bible says, fear him who can not only kill your body, but after he has killed it, has power to cast your soul to hell. Can I ask you tonight, have you any fear of that God in your life? Fear enough to surrender your life to him. Pilate, oh, the message was in his heart, and he knew the man that was on his hands. My friend, remember this. You have a man on your hands, and that man is Jesus Christ. And you can reject him tonight, and he has the power to cast your soul to hell. You can receive him tonight, and he has power to give you eternal life. Have you found yourself in a crisis situation spiritually throughout these meetings? Pilate, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? Then I want you to notice also, not only the crisis that faced him, but the courage that failed him. Listen to him again as he cries out, what shall I do? There was one thing absolutely clear in that governor's mind, that whatever he would do, he must do something. Hence he cries out, what shall I do? And my friend, whatever you do in this meeting, you must do something. There's no neutrality in religion. You're either in Christ or out of Christ. You're either for Christ or against Christ. You're either on the road to heaven or the road to hell. There's no neutrality. And you must do something. Now, when Pilate came to face this decision, there were many voices that were clamoring for his attention. And maybe such voices have been clamoring for your attention as you ponder over what you will do with Jesus. It was first of all the voice of Caesar. What shall I do with Jesus? Oh, the Bible tells me he was minded to let Jesus go. But then there was the voice of Caesar. We read in the corresponding chapter to this, in John chapter 19 and verse 12, where the Jews cried out, if thou let this man go, thou art not Caesar's friend. And the Bible tells me that Pilate sought to release Jesus. You see, he knew what was right. But because of the pressure of the crowd, he does what is wrong. Is that how it's going to be in this meeting? You know what's right. You know that you need to give your life to Jesus Christ. You know that there's no possibility of heaven without Jesus, because he said, I'm the door, and by me if any man enters in, he shall be saved. But there was the voice of Caesar. Maybe there's voices that's whispering in your heart. Maybe there's those that you run about with. There's those that you mingle with. There's those you socialize with. Those you even live with. Even those in your own home. They've no interest in spiritual things. And their voice is ringing out. There was not only the voice of Caesar, but then there was the voice of Christ. Because I read in John 19, then saith Pilate unto him, speakest thou not unto me? Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee, and I have power to release thee? And Jesus answered, thou couldst have no power over me at all, except it were given thee. And there was the voice of Christ. My friend, have you heard the voice of the Savior say, come unto me? The voice of Christ, the voice of him who was the very best that God could offer. His only begotten Son, God veiled in human flesh, Christ stands in Pilate's judgment hall, and his voice is heard in language loud and clear. It is a message of love, a message of salvation, a message of pardon, and a message of peace. My friend, I want to tell you this. Jesus said, I did not come to condemn the world, but that the world through me might be saved. You think if you became a Christian, you give your life to Jesus Christ, why, all good things are going to come to an end. I can tell you from personal experience and the authority of God's holy word that that's when life will really begin for you. To know God's peace and God's pardon and God's forgiveness and the assurance of God's heaven in your heart. What greater blessing could any heart crave or desire for? Have you heard the voice of Jesus? Then there was the voice of his companion. Because we read in Matthew 27 and verse 19 that when Pilate was set down on the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, have thou nothing to do with that just man? For I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. Have thou nothing to do with that just man? Oh, the people were crying out for the blood of Christ. That bloodthirsty mob had ganged up against the sinless Son of God, and they were paying for his blood. They were crying away with him, give us our Barabbas, give us our sin. They would have a murderer reigning over them before they would have this sinless Son of God. And she said, have you nothing to do with it? Don't you get involved. You stay out of this. If they're going to reject Christ, don't you reject Christ. If they're going to sell their soul to hell, don't you sell your soul to hell. Maybe there's someone in your home and someone in your family. Maybe you're sitting beside a Christian tonight. Someone that's brought you to this very meeting. Someone that has prayed for you every day. Oh, their voice and their very life tells you, men and women, boys and girls, teenagers, don't you get involved in rejecting Jesus Christ. And then there was the voice of the crowd. They said, away with him. They cried out the more, crucify him. We're not having this man reigning over us. And the more he tried to appease them, the more they cried out, "Not this man." My friend, has that been the attitude of your heart? Oh, you love your sin, but you're not having this man who died on the cross for you reigning in your life. Theirs was a voice of rejection. We'll have anybody. We'll have anything. But we don't want Christ. Sadly, it's the way it is today for many. You know, there's people and they couldn't get enough of the church. But they don't want Christ. They are very, very, very religious. But they don't want anything of Christ's salvation. These people had made their decision clear. They had made it public. They had cried it aloud, "Crucify him." Now Pilate says, "What shall I do?" Others tonight may get up out of their seat, turn their back upon God's offer of salvation. But my friend, what will you do? What will you do with Jesus? Oh, neutral you cannot be. Someday your heart may be asking, "What will Jesus do with me?" My friend, what will you do without Jesus? You know, if he withdrew from you tonight, physically you would die. Because in him, the Bible says, we live, we move, we have our being. Oh, we want him to give us physical life. We want him to protect us. We want every blessing that he can give us, but we don't want him in our heart as our Savior. They said, "Not this man." They said, "Crucify him." There was the voice of Caesar. There was the voice of Christ. There was the voice of his companion. There was the voice of the crowd, and then there's the voice of conscience. Because I read in John 18 where Jesus and Pilate is in conversation. Pilate comes to a crisis point again and he says, "What is truth?" Conscience is at work. Maybe your conscience has been troubling you. Maybe even in the late hours of the night, God's still been speaking to you. And oh, tell me what if he should speak nevermore. But leave you forever alone in your sin. You heard, but you did not heed. We read in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 1, "Therefore we ought to give the more diligent heed to the things which we have heard." Oh, my friend, give diligent heed. Listen to Pilate. There's not a fault in this man. Which brings me in conclusion to the contempt that filled him. Not a fault in this man. His wife said, "This is a just man. Don't get involved in their crime. Don't get involved in rejecting him. Don't get involved in crucifying." And though he said, "I find no fault in him," he turned round and he crucified the Son of God. Stood at the crisis point in your life, you've heard the Savior's voice. He says, "Come unto me, and I will give you rest." For he says, "I'll give you life, and abundant life, for I am the way, the truth, and the life." And you know there's no reason to reject him. And yet, you reject him. That was the contempt that filled this man. He knew all that he did know. He knew that for envy they'd reject him. But he rejects him. He crucifies him. Do you want to see his contempt? The Bible tells me. Verse 24, when Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, he took water and he washed his hands. When the awful deed of rejecting God's Son, crucifying the Prince of Life, he took water and washed his hands of the whole thing. Friend, do not wash your hands of this issue. You've got a decision to make this night. Give up your sin or give up all your hopes of ever getting into heaven. But there's no washing your hands of this issue. Tonight, you'll open your heart and receive the Savior, or tonight you'll shut your heart and shut him out. But you'll not wash your hands of the issue. Many people, I'm sure this people has been invited to this mission, they've never come. They will evade and avoid meeting Christian people lest they would be confronted with that invitation. Like the evangelist, he was having a gospel mission of this nature in a community, and he called at this farmhouse and he is inviting, or wanted to invite, the people of the house to come, but he could never get them. They always avoided him, evaded the issues. One night around 6 o'clock, the evangelist pulled up at the farmyard and he saw the farmer running across the bottom of the yard with a bucket in each hand. And just as he opened the farmyard gate, the farmer looked up. He heard the rattle of the gate. He saw the man. He knew he was the preacher. And as he hurried across the bottom of the yard, he said, "Oh, don't come to me today. Can't you see? I'm too busy." And the preacher said, "One question, and I'll not come back." And he said to the farmer, "Tell me this. If I had been death that walked through that gate, would you have said, 'Don't come today, I'm too busy'?" Friend, there's no washing our hands of the issue. Jesus stands at the door of your life. He'd be your Savior. He'd save you gladly. You can either receive him or reject him, but there's no evading the issue. And Pilate, though he tried, Still, what shall I do then with Jesus? Not only did he take water and wash his hands, then he said, I'm innocent. Friend, if you're rejecting Jesus Christ, you're not innocent. You're guilty of the most awful crime that any man ever in the history of humanity ever committed. Crime of rejecting Jesus. You know, when Peter stood up at Pentecost, he charged home an awful condemnation to the people. He said, you killed the Prince of Life. My friend, that's the condemnation. Every night you get up out of your seat and walk out in your sin. You kill the Prince of Life. You crucify the Son of God. Now, what will you do with Jesus tonight? You've got Christ on your hands. You can't wash your hands of this issue. What will you do with him tonight? And what you do with him tonight may well determine whether you'll be in God's heaven or God's hell. Don't make Pilate's mistake. He sold his soul to hell. You can settle for heaven tonight if you'll choose Christ. Now what will you do? What will you do tonight?